Praise the Lord. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here. And the Lord is good. I was talking about the light. And I said, well, this world is full of darkness, but we have the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And we should let that light shine. And I said, instinctively, when you enter into a dark room in the night, you reach for the light switch. You turn on the light. That's what we do. And so that's what we should be for this world. But our light, this is what I was saying before my mic went off, our light should not have a light switch. It shouldn't be on and off, because the Bible says, 1 John 1:5, this is the message that we heard from the Lord from the beginning, that in him, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. So there's no moment when it's dark and he has to turn on the light. No, it's always light. And so he is light and we are light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And he also told his disciples, ye are the light of the world. And, but we don't have any light in us if we're not in him and he's not in us. And we're a reflection of his light. And because he is in us and we are in him, then we let that light shine. Glory to God. And we must come into the place where that light is always shining, not on and off. We need to get rid of that on and off switch. The on and off switch is a thing that's in our flesh, you know, because the flesh cannot stay in the presence of God, you know, so until we completely subdue this flesh, we're dealing with the on and off switch. You know, sometimes you turn it on, you're in the spirit, and sometimes, you know, not so much. But we got to come into the place. I am the light of the world, Jesus said in John 8:12. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have the same light of life. Glory to God. And in Matthew, when Jesus began to tell his disciples, you know, about being the light and being the salt of the earth, he called it out also, you know, this same light that he had always been, he had given it unto us. Ye are the salt of the earth, he said in Matthew 5. And also the next verse, he said, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. That's Matthew 5:14. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, so that it gives light to all that are in the house. Well, it's a good thing that we light the candle, but we should not let that candlelight go out. You know, Jesus giving us the grace, the Spirit of God within us, you know, to keep the light on. Keep the lights on. Keep the lights on. In fact, there's a place, there's a saying in the place where I work, you know, my regular job. You know, they have two programs. And I never thought of this until just this moment. One program is new initiatives and things like that. And the other is keep the light on. You know, call it KTLO. And majority of the work that some of us do is in the area of keep the lights on. Others that are involved in acquiring new business and so forth, they are doing that. But the rest of us in technology and all that, ours is to keep the lights on. You know, we're not the business unit that acquires new business. Ours is to keep the light on, keep the business running. And as I was thinking about this now, I just remembered KTLO. And I'm like, wow, can you imagine that? Keep that light on. You know, don't let that light ever go off. And we started this room with Leviticus 6:12-13, a different kind of light, which is a fire. That must be burning. Well, fire has many uses. You know, one of the things it can do is also give light. You know, people can light, you know, you know, live fire. In the olden days, you used to have those, you know, fire stands and, you know, fire sticks. You light the fire and walk through the tunnel or walk through this and that. You know, fire can give light. Fire can give heat. Fire can, you know, protect. Fire can cleanse. You know, fire, you know, all kinds of various things that fire can do. And even God himself, we see that his various appearances are in fire sometimes. His eyes are like a flame of fire, you know. And he appeared in burning coals of fire. You know, Ezekiel saw it that way. John saw it that way on the Isle of Patmos, and so on and so forth. And Jesus didn't have any pleasure in lukewarmness. He said, I want you to be fired up. If you're not fired up, told the church in Laodicea, I will spill you out of my mouth because you are lukewarm. And so, but the scripture says in Leviticus 6 and 12, every morning, let's come and put some more wood on that altar, lay it in order, you know, crank it up again so that the fire must ever be burning. Well, we got to get to the place where the fire doesn't go out. The fire is always burning. Well, and I, by the grace of God, I will jump back into the transformation series, not today, that will help us to keep the light on all the time. There are some amazing things that Jesus said about light. And which, you know, even though that's not my subject today, you know, but I want us to consider. You know, Jesus was talking about, he said in John chapter 11 and verse 9, are there not 12 hours in the day? And if any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. That's a question. You know, that's how they counted the day, you know, 12 hours, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth. But notice the amazing thing that Jesus gives here of the reason why the man who walks in the night stumbleth. Now, the one who walks in the day does not stumble because he seeth the light of day. I mean, so if you know, if it's daytime and you're walking around, you don't need to stumble over anything because you can clearly see. But if it is night and you cannot see and there is no light, but look at the reason that Jesus gives for the reason why the guy will stumble. You know, he stumbles not because there is no light around, but he stumbles because there is no light in him. Now, that's an amazing concept if you think about it. In other words, if the light is inside of you, not that you don't have any light around, there's a big difference between the guy who's using the light of day. Everybody has the light of day. The light, it's daybreak, you know, the sun is out, everybody has that. But some people have light in them. Not just the light of the sun around or whatever, or daylight, or even the light in the house when you turn on the lamps or your electric bulbs or whatever. But some people have light in them. And the person that has light, or the person that does not have light in him, will stumble when the other light is not there. But the one that has the light in him, regardless of whether the light is around him, he cannot stumble. So this is something for us to consider. And when we have that light in us, we got to do everything to make sure that light is always burning. There are many reasons why that light will be put out. You know, many reasons. But we'll get to that someday. Today, I want to welcome you all into the room. God bless every one of you. Thank you, Sister Bridget, for, accepting the invite to come to the stage. Sister Elaine, good to see you. Alexis, Grace, Sam, Pearl, and Sister Mary, good to see every one of you. Thank you. I see another Bridget in the room. Thank you for being there. And thank you, Coach Yolanda. Welcome, everyone. And good morning, honey. Let's get started. I'm gonna ask my wife a quick word of prayer, and then I want to get into today's exhortation room and encouragement room. Go ahead, honey. Let's pray, and then we'll get to it.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Again, we are here, O Lord, to feed at your feet, to hear your word, to encourage, Lord, to go on and get fired up. Thank you, Lord, because you are the light of the world. And Lord, a house that is on a hill, Lord, will give light. Father, we thank you, Lord, because you said, let your light shine, that men may see your light and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. We have come this morning, O Lord, to sharpen our lights. Lord, to let our light shine in this dark world. Thank you, Lord, because you are light. In you, there is no darkness at all. Father, Lord, we're going to feed off of you. And let that light radiate to us, O Lord. Even onto this untoward generation, we ask, Lord, that the word of God will come down like honey from the honeycomb. Lord, it will enlighten our hearts this morning. Lord, that we'll get your daily dose of your word. Lord, we pray, Lord, and I present my husband that is going to be preaching this morning and teaching, Lord, that you would allow him to speak like the oracle of God, that the word will come through, Lord, effortlessly in the name of Jesus, that the Holy Spirit will direct this teaching. Lord, that our hearts also will receive. Lord, our hearts will be opened to receive the word of God. We pray, O Lord, that it will do good to us. It will do good to our family, our children. Lord, that you will bless everyone that is in this room. We present every heart, every eyes, everyone that has come in here, that they will not go out empty. Lord, that they will hold on to something from this word today that is dropped into their hearts. Lord, that it will be fresh in our hearts, that we will not say, oh, I've heard that before. But it will be a fresh dose of honey unto us, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you bless us today. It's a new week, Lord. We pray, Lord, it's Monday. We thank you, Lord, because you go through with us for the rest of the week. Lord, even if you have started with us, Lord, we will not run out. We will not run dry in the name of Jesus. Again, we thank you and we present this hour before you, or this time that you're going to, and this room, Lord, and this topic that you have given us, Lord, God is about to change our story. Let our story be changed today for permanently. Let our health be changed permanently. Let the glory of God descend upon us wherever we are, whether in our bedroom, on our job, whether we're in England, whether we're in Nigeria, or whether we're in America, or any part of a country that we are in, Australia, whatever country we are, Lord, it does not matter to you, because you, they are the creator of the heavens and the earth. Lord, and Lord, you have made the earth your footstool and the heavens your throne. Therefore, Lord, we'll see us, Lord, even as grasshoppers. Lord, we are but nothing before you. But you are so humble to have behold us, to have had even the time to care for us. We bless your name. We give you glory and honor and majesty as we present this time unto your hands. In Jesus' name, we declare this time, this meeting, this room opened. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, praise the Lord. Thank you for that. Hello, Sister Bridget. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning. Good morning, Pastor Yate. Good morning, Pastor Eben. I am well. I'm blessed. Thank you.
Good to have you with us. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So God is fixing or is about to change our story. Well, you know, there are many stories in the Bible that bring out this point. You know, I want this to be an encouragement room this morning, just like we've been doing for several weeks, you know, since we opened this room, you know, and, but there is a story that I would tell, not today, but today I will just tell some few stories of how, you know, God changed people's stories. And then, but I will switch the gears, you know, maybe tomorrow I'll start to tell how God will change our story, you know, in this spiritual walk with God. Today, it's a house of faith, just believing God for our story. What's your story? I mean, everybody has a story, you know, and the one that we know is what we know. There's parts of that story which we don't know. We look at our story as, you know, events that have happened in our life. You know, that's the part that we know. But in those fingerprints, God has coded something in there that only He knows. And there are no two sets of fingerprints are the same. Can you imagine all the billions and billions of people in the world and no two fingerprints, even twins? No two fingerprints are the same. And so God has coded in there. And you know, every time that someone is born again into the kingdom of God, every time, you know, there is a, there's a new code that comes into the kingdom. And if we don't let the Holy Spirit do His work, you know, people try to proselyte the people who are coming into the kingdom. Jesus said, look, you make, you know, you compass land and sea about to make one proselyte. And you end up making them twice the child of hell. And that's a serious indictment that He put out there. You know, but people are always trying to, you know, make someone be something else than what God intends for them to be. And sometimes people themselves are always trying to be something else other than what God intends them to be. You know, people don't, they don't know, they can't find out, or they don't take time to find out. But I tell you what, your role in this kingdom of God, in the body of Christ, is unique. You know, there may be similarities, but it's unique. And God has a plan and a purpose for every storyline. And while we're going through this journey, we have different stories. It's like when you read a book, you know, different chapters, you know, read a novel and so forth, different chapters, and I develop the storyline. The different chapters that, you know, that we can read and develop. And it may get more and more intriguing, you know, as you get deeper into the story. Different chapters. You know, some of us are in various chapters of our lives. You know, at some point in time, you know, you may be going through some things that are making it difficult for you to even see what might be ahead in other chapters. Now, me being a pastor and all, by the grace of God, I always love to, you know, preach, you know, encouraging sermons that will help people get past these things, you know, and then come into the place where you can really, you know, emerge into the glory that God intended for us. But oftentimes, you know, we have to deal with these things. And so, you know, I will, you know, dwell on that a little bit today, you know, as a stepping stone for something that we are going to get back into shortly, maybe tomorrow. But today I want to talk about, you know, some stories that God changed in the Bible. And we use this as a stepping stone, you know, that God can change our story in the physical and also in the spiritual. I'll be talking to us about some physical, you know, changing of some stories, which we know these stories, but as we go along, we may bring out certain things. And so let's enjoy the room. God bless everyone. Good morning again and welcome. And let's share the room quickly before we get going here. So share the room on Clubhouse and share it to your friends. And we are going to get right into it. And we thank God. I am thankful always for this app. You know, so a lot of people use this app for whatever things they may want to use it for. But I thank God that we're able to use it for fellowship. You know, we come together, you know, I mean, right now I'm able to fellowship with Sister Bridget, and she's in the UK. I mean, can you see that? Sister Elaine is in another part. You know, everybody is all over the place. Sister Mary also in the UK and different things like that. And we can all fellowship together. So it's an amazing thing. So I thank God for it. And let's use it for some good. And every opportunity we get when we are on this app or anywhere else for that matter, you know, the Bible says that how God anointed Christ of Nazareth, Acts 10 and 38, with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good. Hallelujah. So he was doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So everywhere we go, we ought to also be doing good. Hallelujah. Storyline being changed. God fixing to change our story. I'm going to start here in Jeremiah chapter 18. I'm going to read the first 6 verses or so as we go into this sharing this morning. In Jeremiah chapter 18, the Lord told Jeremiah, go down over here to the porter's house, and when you get there, I'll cause you to hear my words. You know, so I went down to the porter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the porter. So he made it again, another vessel that seemed good to the porter to make it. Hallelujah. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. Well, what was the potter doing? It was making pottery. And I think the potter must be skilled at it. But despite being skilled at it, you know, sometimes, you know, some of them don't come out just right. You know, and Jeremiah was looking, you know, and God used to dramatize his word with some of those prophets in the old days, you know, and he would just let them be engaged and involved in the drama as it unfolds. And so he was there looking at this man making, you know, pottery. And as he was doing it, the clay was messed up. I mean, he was trying to mold it into something, but the thing didn't come out just right. So he looked at it and he didn't like what he saw. So he made it again. Hallelujah. Well, you know, I call that a Holy Ghost makeover. You know, so the Lord looked at some things and he didn't like, and then he began to make it over. He said to the children of Israel, look, can I not do with you as this? The intention was for you to come out into a perfect lump, but, you know, the thing got out of shape. You know, so he's going to fix it and make it over. And there's no one that knows how to do that more than the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. You know, that's what he does. Even from the beginning in Genesis chapter 1, we see in the first 2 verses that when the Lord made the heaven and the earth, that was his summary in verse 1. And then he began to tell us, you know, some of the things that went into details in the several chapters that follow. You know, how when God looked at everything, you know, it was initially void and without form. It was like messed up stuff, you know. So, you know, he had to begin to do some things and clean it up. You know, the earth was without form and was void, Genesis 1 and 2. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. So the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. That's it, you know. When God began to clean this up, the Holy Spirit had to move. And it's the same thing still today. Holy Spirit has to move whenever God wants to do something. And there is no unction. I mean, there is nothing that works in God's spirit realm except that unction and the Holy Spirit moves first. Now, the Holy Spirit, it can bring order out of that chaos. It can bring light out of darkness. The Bible says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts. And so the Lord looked at the darkness. He didn't like it. So he commanded the light to shine. And he saw the light. He saw that it was good. He didn't like the chaos either. He didn't like the void. And began to bring some form into it. You know, the Holy Spirit, he can take what's chaotic in our lives. And there are some people whose lives are just attract chaos. I don't know what it is. Their life is chaotic. They just seem to be a chaos magnet. You know, and things just don't seem to work out. There's always problems. But let's invite our Holy Spirit. He can bring order like nobody else. This earth was chaotic. You know, it was bent out of shape just like the clay in the hand of the potter. Everything was not the way God wanted it. You know, it just spun out of order. And God began, the Holy Spirit began to bring things into order. And God can take the things that are chaotic in our lives. God can take the things that are out of order. The void, you know, so many lives. It's amazing. So many lives are void. It's either void of understanding or void of purpose. It's not that they don't have a purpose, but they can't find it or they don't know what it is. You know, and when the earth was without form, I mean, that means it's just bent out of shape, you know, like the clay was bent out of shape in the hand of the potter, you know, and it was void. I mean, just void. It didn't really have, you know, substance that was good. I mean, it had everything there, but it was no good. And so God had to put things, God had to clean it up, you know, and the story was, he started to clean up. First thing was he looked at the darkness and said, no, you know, everything was just dark. And then Holy Spirit began to, you know, bring that light, call that light out. Glory to God. And when he did call that light, now I want you to know that God himself is light, you know, so the light was already in him. He just needed to impart it into the, earth system that he created. And everything that God is doing, you know, going on, God, you know, we think of God today as in heaven. Well, maybe. Jesus even referred to it that way. He said, your Father who is in heaven. You know, so that's all good. But what about the earth? You know, and as we all always say, as I like to say, Psalms 115 and verse 16, the kingdoms in the heavens belong to the Lord, but he's given us to the sons of men, the earth. Well, we know that everything is his, earth or heaven and so forth. But he's given us this one. And in this place, you know, the purpose of God in heaven as it relates to man is to bring this earth back into form. You know, it was void in the beginning and he formed it, you know, to his liking. And everything he did, he said it was good. Looked at it and said it was good. Well, after a while, everything got out of order again because of, you know, we talk about, people call it the fall. Well, Adam fell from somewhere, but I don't think it was exactly heaven that he fell from. But he fell from somewhere. He fell from a realm, you know, and he fell from the dominion that God gave him, but it was in a realm actually. And I'm going to drop this here right now that look, when you get out of that place where the spirit and the glory of God, like in Romans 3 and 23, the spirit and the glory of God that Adam lost, when you get out of that place, God can't find you. He's like, Adam, where are you? You know, so, I mean, there's a place where you should be. And if you're not there, you know, and you are in the flesh, then, you know, communication is lost. There's no signal. And, you know, God can't find you. You know, if you want to hide from God, you just walk in the flesh. That's the only way. I say it in a funny way, but it is the truth. You know, and so once he fell from that glory, God was now looking for him. God never looked for him before. He was in a place of communion, communication with God in the realm where God was at. When he fell from that glory, now God can't find him. You know, where are you, Adam? And he's hiding somewhere. You know, that's what walking in the flesh, walking in the carnal mind will do to you. You know, and I talked about this somewhat, a version of it in our local service yesterday. I was talking about engaging the Lord in the spirit and not walking in the flesh. You know, some version of it. But so that's see how God began to change the story at the beginning. Well, and throughout this Bible, there have been times when God had to step in and change some stories. Physical stories. You know, but the physical stories that he changed give us an illustration of even things that he can do in the spirit. And we know that he's made provision to change our story in the spirit. You know, Christ, the purpose of Christ was to come and do that. You know, to change that in the spirit. And Jesus said when he finished the work, or while he was on the work that he was doing, he said, look, my meat, John chapter 4 and verse 34, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish that work. And so he was focused on doing it. And when people come to him and try to get him off track, he wouldn't even listen. They said, well, show us a sign. Well, they didn't care about that. Even his brethren, his siblings in his own house, in John chapter 7, they said, look, you can't be in hiding and expect people to know who you are. You know, if any man wants to be known, show yourself already. I mean, advertise yourself. Do these things. Let people know who you are. Jesus wouldn't give in to any of those things. And he said, look, my time is not yet, but your time, you know, you do whatever you want. Yeah, I got to listen to the Father. But he had a purpose. And the purpose was to change, you know, the storyline. The storyline was come into the image and likeness of God. Have dominion. And Adam did for a while. And then lost everything. And then so, you know, all along, all these other things that happen. Well, it happens and God will step in occasionally to, you know, by the grace of God and the mercy of God to help us clean up, pick up the pieces in our lives and clean up. But his eternal purpose is to change that story and bring us back to where we were supposed to be. And finally, when he paid the ransom for that, he said, it is finished. I've done it now. And so he has done everything. It is finished. But yet we don't see it. When 1 John 3 and 2 says, look, beloved, now are we the sons of God. But it doth not yet appear, you know, what we shall be. I mean, we know that he's done it. But how come we don't see it exactly? Well, same thing like Psalm 8 says, you know, God has given dominion. But how come we don't see it? You know, because it's still a bit out of joint. Things are still a bit out of place. But God needs to clean all that up. And he's doing it now. You know, and it's time. And we need to, you know, God will clean it all up and bring it back full circle to where it was supposed to be in the beginning. You know, so we see that in the spirit realm, but also in the natural things. We see how God changes people's stories. You know, the evidence of what he can even do in the spirit. So let's look at some stories that God actually changed. There is a story, and I love this story. There's a story in John chapter 5, from verses 1 to about 9. This man who, you know, everybody used to camp out and wait for the moving of the water by the angel. And this man also camped out. And you've heard me tell this story many times. And he camped out, but he was too slow because he was lame on his feet to get into that water, but to be there first. He had to be there first after the angels tear that pool. But one day, you know, because he kept coming though, you know, season after season, I don't know whether that season was 1 year or how long it was, but at a certain season, when the angel came and stirred that pool, and whosoever first then entered into the water after the stirring of the pool was made whole of whatever sickness he had. This man also coming with the hope that, you know, someday maybe he'll be able to get in there, but he never could get in quick enough, you know, because of his physical, impairment. And, so when Jesus came, I want to ask you this. There was a great number of impotent folk that we are told that lay in that place. Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard this story before, but you know, sometimes the Lord will bring out some other things in some of these stories. So let's bring out a few other things in this story, as you've heard it multiple times. But let's, you know, let's bring this one out today. You know, there was a great number of impotent folk that lay in that place, right? John chapter 5, verse 3. In this lay a great number of impotent folk, of blind, of halt, of withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool. Now this pool was there, you know, by the sheep market. And so the pool was called Bethesda. And this angel will go down there, stir up the water, and whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatever disease he had. And then there was another certain man, you know, that was there, had an infirmity 38 years when Jesus now saw him lie. Now, let's stop right here. A great number of impotent folk. This man was just one of them. But why did Jesus zero in on this man? I mean, there was all kinds of impotent folk there. He could have just gone out there and cleaned up the porch. Healed everybody. He could do it too. I mean, there are times when, you know, Matthew 8 and 17 and different places they brought to him, you know, all, you know, and healed them all. You know, in the evening they brought to him all that were plagued with all kinds of diseases, and he healed them all. That might be fulfilled that which was spoken about him, you know, by the prophet Isaiah. He healed them all. I mean, he can clean house. But he didn't do that in this case. Think about that. You know, there was a specific changing of a story that Jesus was going to bring out in this case. I mean, he could have just gone there and healed everybody, and this, the message or the lesson would not be as significant. It will just be reported that, and he healed them all, and then we'll just move on. But that's how it was reported every time he healed them all. We just reported that he healed them all and then moved on. But once in a while, there are some specific storylines that God allowed us to see how he changed their story. And we can learn from it. And so this particular one, Jesus zeroed in on this man. Perhaps because the man kept coming. Well, I'm sure many of them kept coming as well. I don't think he was the only one that camped out. Many of them camped out, you know, every time, you know. But this man, there was something about it. Whatever it was that Jesus zeroed in on him. We're not told. You have to use your imagination. But when Jesus asked him, would that be made whole? And the man was like, what kind of question is that? We are all here waiting for the moving of the water. But of course I want to be made whole. But I don't know how it will happen. We don't even know when the angel will come. You know, but when he comes, I got to get in there first before everybody else. You know, you can't get in there too soon. And this man's trying to explain to Jesus, you know, how the thing works. You know, and look, you know, I can't, you know, if I get in there too soon, I'm not going to be healed. If I get in there too late, I'm not going to be healed. I got to be the first right after, you know, but people, somebody always steps in ahead of me. You know, I don't know, you know, but yeah, I'm going to keep on trying. You know, and we don't even know when this staring will be, but we think it's getting close. And so everybody's inching closer, but you can't get too close. And Jesus said, forget all that. Forget that angel today. Forget the water. Forget that. I'm right here. Praise God. And the Lord changed this man's story right there and then, in the midst of all of the other great number of impotent folk that were there. One person's story was changed. The rest of them kept on waiting for the stirring of the pool. You know, and Jesus just moved on. Now that's part of my lesson today, is that look, will you be that one person? Will you be the one whose storyline will be changed? You know, as I was saying in our church service yesterday, I said, we, you know, people don't engage God in the, they don't engage the word of God in the spirit. And so they just say, you know, it makes no impact. But when you engage God in the spirit, you get the right impact out of the encounter. You know, and this man, you know, Jesus engaged him, and Jesus found something in the man that was able to pull something out. And so we must engage God. There's some people will engage. You all know the story of the woman with the issue of the blood that kept on pushing through the crowd. And then when she would get there, she had determined in her heart, you know, she spent all her living, the Bible said, on, you know, on all of the doctors and everything and so on. You know, but she was made nothing better, but rather actually grew worse. You know, but she said, look, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know that I will be made whole. And she came and touched the hem of his garment, as you know the story. And then Jesus said, who touched me? Who touched me? The disciples say, what kind of question is that? I mean, there's everybody around you here pushing, juggling for position and everything. And you're saying, who touched me? And Jesus said, yeah, there is a different kind of touch that you can see here. And you can read that story in Luke chapter 8. It's another part of the Bible too. But Jesus said, who touched me? Luke chapter 8. Let's pick it up from verses 45 to about 47. You know, and this woman, there were many people around Jesus that day, but we don't know how many of them got healed. You know, so this woman had an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, but could not be healed by any. In another place he said, but rather grew worse. And he came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately, because, you know, in another place he said, look, the woman had said that if I can but touch the border of his garment, I will be made whole. And she said, who touched me? So this one person's story was changed, but there was a lot of people around Jesus that day, to the extent that even the disciples marveled that Jesus said, who touched me? I say, how can you say who touched me when there is a whole multitude of people thronging you here? But one person's story was changed. Remember the story of the impotent man. Among all those people that were there, one person's story was changed. In this case, among all the people that were jostling for position, you know, and thronging Jesus and everything, one person touched him. One person. I mean, how come the others didn't touch him? Well, Jesus said, you know, there's a different kind of touch. You know, virtue has gone out of me. You know, so this is not just the people just juggling, jostling for position, pushing and shoving and everything. No. Somebody touched me. And Jesus knew it. So the woman, knowing that she was discovered, came and confessed. So, I was the one that touched you because of, and he told the story. She told the story. And Jesus said, well, that's cool. Go, because your faith has made you whole. Hallelujah. Now, one person's story was changed in this case. There's other stories like this in the Bible. I mean, in the book of John chapter 9, we don't know how many people, how many blind, I mean, there were some, we knew of Bartholomew or whatever his name was, blind Bartholomew, that was healed by Jesus. The one that kept shouting after Jesus said, you know, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And he told him to shut up, but he cried out the more. You know, but in this story of John chapter 9, there was this woman. There was this man that was born blind, whom the disciples asked Jesus and said, what? Who was born blind? I mean, who sinned? Why this man was born blind? His parents or him? And Jesus said, neither of them, but that the works of God. You heard me say that might be manifest through him. And this man, there was a lot of blind people. As a matter of fact, Jesus told the people one time, he said, look, were there not many widows in the days of Elijah, even in Israel? And Elijah was not sent to any one of them except to the woman in Zarephath. I mean, were there not many, you know, people with leprosy in Israel? Why weren't they healed, but except for a stranger that came, you know, from, you know, the Naaman, the captain of the host from Syria or wherever? How come the children that should have had the healing themselves didn't get it? Why did it have to be one person's story that was, why did the person's whose story was changed had to be somebody, not one of you? Jesus was talking to the Jews. He said, look, you will miss the day of your visitation if you are not careful. And of course, they missed it. And the Jews, especially the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees and all, they knew the word of God. Well, let me not say the word of God. They knew the letters. And they knew the writings. They knew the Torah. They knew everything. They knew the, you know, prophets. They knew the writings of Micah, you know, chapter 5 and verse 2 that says Jesus will be born in Jerusalem. I mean, sorry, in Bethlehem. But thou, Bethlehem, O Ephrata, out of thee shall come, even though thou be the smallest out of the cities of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth one that is going to be governor among my people, governor of my people, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. So they knew all these things. They knew everything about what Isaiah prophesied. They knew everything. But when he appeared, they missed it. You know, and so, but in a few cases, Jesus, that virtue out of him would change somebody's story. This man who was born blind, he was not the only blind that was there. He was not the only lame that was there. As a matter of fact, Jesus didn't heal everybody during his time. Even though they said, you know, scripture say they brought everybody, you know, to him. I mean, they brought people to him and healed all of them. It wasn't every healed sick person in the land that he healed. Some of them were not healed, you know, because, you know, after Jesus left, John and Peter went to, in Acts chapter 3, and there was this man there, the lame, you know, lame at the temple. I mean, you know, in the front of the temple that they healed. And this man had been there. He wasn't healed. I don't know why not. You know, then so, and this, the disciples did many miracles, some of which the recipients had also been around during the time of Jesus. But, you know, in some occasions, he changed their stories. I mean, what was the thing that separated between the people whose stories were changed and the others whose stories remained the same? Well, the power of the Lord was present to heal the same way, but why didn't he heal everybody? Sometimes he did heal a lot of people, and every time they brought him a whole month to be healed, he healed them all. But it wasn't everybody that came to him. And it wasn't everybody, you know, that, you know, I mean, not every person that was sick came to him to be healed. That's what I'm saying. Everyone that came to him was never turned away, but they didn't all come. And in some cases, his mercy reached out to others, like this impotent man that we saw in John chapter 5. It was just the mercy of God that reached out to him. Because God was, Jesus wanted to show a lesson. I mean, let's look at Peter on the story in Luke chapter 5. This was another storyline that Jesus would change. It wasn't always about healing, but he wanted to show that he can also do this. So we've seen stories that he changed regarding healing, regarding cases where hope was lost. I mean, 38 years, this man, and even though he kept coming, but he didn't know whether he had a chance. I mean, this man, 40 years blind, you know, I mean, he was just there. All he was there was just beg for alms. You know, he had no idea how he could ever, you know, get out of that situation. But Jesus changed his story. The woman, 12 years, issue of blood every day for 12 years, that's a nasty thing. You know, spent all her living on doctors, didn't get any better, but rather grew worse. But one day, I mean, she did something, though. She actually did something. The others, it was just the grace of God that found them. This woman in her heart. So we see various elements of this thing. You know, this woman in her heart, she determined. In fact, her miracle was from the day that she determined that she could do this thing. If she can just touch the hem of his garment, she will be healed. That's when she got her miracle. It was already settled. Because in her mind, she already had the faith. That look, if I can just get through the crowd, touch this guy somehow, maybe I'm just, you know, like, you know, just the clothes he's wearing, you know, just at the bottom of the clothes, you know, I'll be healed. That her miracle was settled from the day she believed that in her heart. It was already done. So sometimes it's the grace and mercy of God reaching out to people. Sometimes it's the faith that's pulling it out of Christ. Whatever it is, you know, the man that cried repeatedly after Christ, you know, and they told him, shut up. And he cried even the more. His faith pulled it out. The Bible says that Jesus stopped in his tracks when the man began to cry for mercy. And eventually he was healed. So sometimes their faith pulls it out. Sometimes the mercy of God just reaches out to show us a lesson. Every which way, Peter was there. This was not a lesson about healing. This was a lesson about provision and when we get weary and tired in the things we're trying to do. He was a known and a seasoned fisherman, and with his friends and partners, they had gone out all night, which was the time of that particular season of the year to do the fishing, and they caught nothing. They were tired. They were weary. They had washed their nets. They packed it in. And they were about to call it a day. In fact, they had called it a day, you know, and Jesus, you know, stepped into the boat, preached for a little bit, and then gave a word and changed that story. Now, so, you know, it doesn't matter how long the situation has been. Jesus, knowing that this man was long time in that condition in John chapter 5, Jesus also knowing that this man was 40 years born blind, in John chapter 9, Jesus knowing that this woman with 12 years in her thing, Jesus knew all these things. Jesus knowing that Peter had been there all night long. I mean, Jesus could have come at the beginning and blessed the work of their hands so that they wouldn't spend the whole night and be frustrated and packing the thing. But he didn't, because he's trying to illustrate a point. That even when you think all hope is lost, he can still change that story. And in a moment, he changed the story. You know, in a moment, just change that story. And we see so many times that he did that in a moment. The story of Lazarus, which you know, famous story in the Bible. When Jesus had opportunity to be there before he died, he didn't. In fact, he made sure he wasn't there. He delayed two more days until the guy died and was buried and everything. We talked about this before. But Jesus was showing that he can still change that story. And he changed it. And listen to even the stories of, you know, people that were changed from slavery to royalty. I mean, Daniel, we know how he was a slave in Babylon and all that. But through the grace and mercy of God that was upon him, you know, the giftings of God and everything, he rose to be in among the chief of the presidents of the land. You know, and yet he was a slave man, a slave young man in there. But he rose to the height, you know, of that place. Esther was a slave girl, and she rose to be queen of the land. And yet she's, you know, through that, she was able to save, you know, her Jewish people at that time. You know all these stories. But God was the one changing their stories one by one. You know, in some cases, just like the story of Joseph, it's one of my favorite stories, they even had a glimpse of what God might do. He had some dreams, you know, but the dreams were not coming to pass. In fact, everything was happening to the opposite. Now, you may have had some dreams. You may have had some, you know, goals that you want to set. You know, at the beginning of this year, you may have set some goals. Well, people do that. Every year, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do the other, I'm going to believe for this, I'm going to believe for that. And now we are in the 12th month of the year. This year is about to end. And maybe you have not achieved that. It could be like Peter who said, well, we've been here all night long. You know, it could be like even the Matthew chapter 20, the late hour workers that stood there all day long. Nobody hired them. They didn't have a job. Nothing was happening. It was almost the end of the day. And then suddenly, the story was changed. And they got the same reward as those who labored all day. They made it. In fact, they prospered just as much as the people that had spent 12 hours of the day working. And this one's in just 1 hour. That story was changed. We can go on and on and on. Joseph was the one that had a glimpse of what God would do for him. But it didn't look like he was going to get there. Because of all the things that the enemy put up against him. But in one day, you know, but it took him a long time to get there. But in one day, his story was changed. From the slammer to the highest position of the land. In one day. And you know the story. I don't need to retell that story. So God, he can do these things. The Lord took Ezekiel to see all those dead bones in Ezekiel 37. How long have these bones been dead? We don't know. Can these bones come to life again? God asked him, say, well, I don't know, but you know. Smart answer. And then the Lord said, well, here's what we're going to do. You. See, and again, you know, God may do that for you in your story. When he's about to change your story, he may put a word in your mouth. He put a word in Ezekiel's mouth to the bones. He said, prophesy upon the bones. And then prophesy to the winds. You know, and cause all these things to happen. And God did. And he changed that story. All those dead things, you know, by the word of the Lord came back to life. Now, you may have some dead dreams. You've been believing God since the beginning of the year until now. But it didn't come to pass. In fact, every time you get so close, like this man of 38 years, he got so close, but no chance. But somebody always stepped in and got out of him. You know, you always seem to be passed by, you know. I mean, somebody always passing you by on that job, that promotion or whatever. You know, they always pass you by and give it to somebody else. I mean, you know, those contracts you apply for, and I mean, everybody else seems to get it and you never get it. Whatever it is that's going on, God can change in one moment. He can change that story. God who commands light to shine out of darkness. God never raised the dead. We're told in Romans chapter 4 and 17. He calls you know, God who raises the dead. I mean, God never buries the dead, is what I want to say. God doesn't bury the dead, but he raises the dead. God who raises the dead and commands things that are not as though they already are, according to Romans 4 and 17. He can call out things and he can change your story in a moment. And my favorite verse or text on all of this that I will close with today, and then we're going to pray, is taken from Job chapter 14. And I love this story. You can see how even God can change the story of a dead tree. You know, how much more he can change it for you. He says here in the book of Job, chapter 14 and verses 7 through 9, that there is hope of a tree. Glory to God. That even when the tree is dead, see, look at the way he put it here. For there is hope of a tree, though it be cut down, that it will sprout again. Now, there are some things that are cut down, and it looks like they are dead, dying, or maybe even dead in your life. Since the beginning of this year, the things you believe for, and now we are last month of the year, almost closing out, and still not there. The tender branch thereof will come back again. Even though the root thereof wax old in the earth and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water, glory to God. You know, I mean, just the smell of the water. It doesn't even need a whole lot of water. Just the smell of the water alone, you know, can bring that thing back. And it's amazing how God can do that. He can change that story through the scent of water. And will you receive the scent of water for your situation today through this encouragement room? And believe God. And be that one person that will touch him. Yeah, others, but one person touched him. There are a great number of impotent folk, but why did he go to just this one person? You know, to call out this story. We would not be telling this story today if he had just healed them all. We would just gloss over it. But because of this particular case, it was a certain man. And that's why we're telling this story today. And we also can see that the Lord can change our story. No matter where you are, no matter how long you've been there, no matter how you got there, the Lord can change your story. And I'm going to pray that the Lord will change your story today. Well, you say, well, you don't know my story. Well, I don't need to know my story, your story. But the Bible says that Jesus knew that this man was long time in that condition. So Jesus knows your story too. It could be an up and down story. It may be your story difficulty that you're having. You know, maybe in your personal life, maybe children, maybe this, maybe that, whatever it is. God can change that story. Remember where we started today. The potter was making clay and it got all messed up. So he made it again into a new lump, even as it pleased him. And so the Lord is going to do a makeover. Hallelujah. He can do that. He did that even for the heavens and the earth. When everything was void, the earth especially, was void and out of order. And the Lord began to put things into place. And he began to remake it and redo it. Holy Spirit moving, forming it, bringing things out, calling things out of here and there, and bringing things into order. You know, changing that chaos and void into something beautiful. And every time he loved it. He looked at it and said, yeah, that was very good. He loved everything he saw. So Father, I pray over everyone that's in the room with us today. Knowing where we are, each one of us, whatever we're going through. And knowing you, Lord, that you know the situation, you know how we got here, every one of us. And we pray that this word encourage someone today to know that God can change that story in a moment. In a moment, if we just don't give up. We thank you, Lord, for the man that did not give up. He kept coming to that pool every time, hoping that one day it'll be his turn. And yes, one day it was his turn. And I pray that people in this room today who are listening in right now, or may listen later on through the replays, that they will not give up and they will not give in and they keep on believing. And that even when it seems that it is far too late, the power of God can come and change that story. We see, Lord, that Peter packed in his net and he had given up, but you changed that story. We see that people who are lazing around all day, didn't have a job, didn't have a source of income, nothing going for them. And the day was about closing and they had nothing going. In 1 minute, you changed their story. And you prosper them the same as those who have been there all day long. Because you are the God of the 11th hour. And Lord, you can change that story. Change the storyline for everyone that's in here today that's believing you for something. And some of us, we started out this new year with great hope, great aspirations. We're going to do this. We're going to do the other. And we're going to believe God for this and the other. You know, maybe we even had some word of encouragement, such as this. But now here we are, month 12 of the year, and still maybe no change. Or maybe things even look worse. But remember, in 1 moment, he can change that story. And never mind what's going on around you, because all you got to do is just focus on him. You can be that one person that would touch him. Even if everything else, even if it's all darkness all around, you can be that one beam of light. Glory to God. And your situation can be the next story to be told about the person whose story got changed. And every time that God did this in the Bible and it's recorded, it's for our examples. And may your story be the next story to be changed. And when that story is changed, and I dare say, let me prophesy this right now, that God is about to change your story. And all you got to do is engage God in the spirit of this word, you know, and don't say, well, you know, I heard that before and, you know, been prayed for before and all of that. Well, it doesn't matter how long that's happened. Today, maybe that day God has appointed. Do not miss the day of your visitation and do not despise the day of small things. Even though it's just a few words here and there, and there's no great fanfare to the room, do not despise the day of your visitation. There's a purpose for these words that the Lord brings to us every day. And today, it may be just that one catalyst that you need, that will help you to lift up your head. God commands the gates, say, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and ye everlasting doors, be ye lift up. Let the King of Glory come in. This word may be just that scent of water for you today, to know that that tree, your dreams, or whatever may have been cut down, yet through the scent of water, even as it is on today, God, change your story. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, thank you for being here. You know, that is our lesson for today. And I certainly hope that it blessed your heart. And we are going to change the order of the room. I want you to come and Say what's on your mind. Say your piece. And give your reaction. And then let's encourage one another. And come on here to the stage. And share with us. And let's see what the Lord is fixing to change in your life. Fixing to change your story. Yours may be a year long that you've been believing. And you're getting close and you're getting close. It may even be more than a year. We don't know. One man, he was 38 years. We don't know how long it'll be. We don't know how long it is. But whatever it is and how long it may be, the Lord knows how to change that story. And may yours be the next storyline that will be said that God changed that story. That the potter redid that clay that was messed up, and out of it came a thing of beauty, which was what he proposed in the first place, but somehow got messed up along the line. Or whatever the reason why it got messed up, you know, he's not finished yet. And the potter, see, the potter didn't give up. He's still working on it. So when he made it and he looked at it, it didn't turn out well, it was bent out of shape, he made it again into a new lump. He changed that story. So God bless you. Thank you for coming and wanting to come to share with us. Mfana, good to see you again. God bless you. And
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Okay. See what the Lord has done. What I waited for has come to pass. See what the Lord has done. Okay, I'm sorry I joined late, but while you were sharing, God was helping me to remember ways he had changed my story. And so I just want to share to encourage someone to keep holding on and hanging in there and to focus on God and not on your situation, because focusing on my situation was what threw me into depression. Well, growing up as a child, I used to have claustrophobia. I couldn't stay in a place that was enclosed. I'll feel like I'm dying. But today, I can stay in places that are closed and nothing will happen. I prayed to God and I said, God, help me. And also, I used to have air sickness, car roads, I think they call it air sick, and when on the road too. If I go in a car, I'll be throwing up. If I'm on the plane, I'll become air sick and I'll be throwing up. So in 2007, my elder sister said, Mfon, let's take a trip to Dubai for holiday. My dad said, Mfon, don't go. You know you have this condition. And I'd never gone, traveled. That was my first time of traveling out on such a long flight. But I decided to go, and true story, I became air sick. In fact, when I got to Dubai, I was sick throughout for the 5 days that were there. But to the glory of God, God answered that prayer, and now I travel. I'm from Nigeria to here was about above 16 hours. But look at me today, I can travel. Also, in 2008 December. Was the crossover service, what they do in Nigeria. And I told God, before the end of 2009, my two legs will leave V-Mobile and go to an oil and gas company. I hadn't even seen any adverts yet. In 2009, January, somebody brought an advert to me and said, Mfon, this is ExxonMobil advert. Apply. You will get it. You're too nice. He was one of my subordinates. I applied and I got the job. And that was my third time of applying to Exxon. The first time I applied, I didn't get it. Second, I didn't get it. And I applied to other oil and gas. I didn't get it. Then finally, I've been crying and asking for help in America so someone can help me with my son. Yes, it may look like it's not the best, but I mean, God has done it. When I fell into depression, for those who were not here the other day, the government took my son away. And a lady from nowhere, you know, that I didn't think she was going to agree. She just said, I want to fight for the custody of your son. And she'll be my son's daycare teacher. Today, my son has someone that he's staying with and is taking good care of him. Hang in there. Our God is faithful. Thank you, sir, for this lovely message, because God truly changes stories. Thank you. I yield my mic.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for sharing. Oh, those are wonderful testimonies. How God is changing. And there's still one story about your son. We prayed about it the other day that will be changed.
Yes.
And thank God that he's with the family and somebody that can take care of him. Now, we prayed for you already the other day, and God is working on that as well, and he will reunite you with your son. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for sharing, and it's amazing how God can do, and those are powerful testimonies. I mean, you were believing God for something in the December, and in January, God brought it to you, and you believed God, and you went there, and you got it, and even though it was the third time that you were applying for it. But you believe God. You didn't give up. You know, you believe God. Don't give up. Nobody should give up on their dreams or things that you believe God for. And I've often told people, I said, look, you know, what things soever you desire. That's what the Bible says. You know, now, those are the things that we need to pray about. It's things that we desire. We don't need to pray about what we need. The Father knows what we need. We don't need to pray about that. You know, what do you need? He already knows. You take care of it. But what you desire, you know, you desire some things. I mean, it's okay to desire, you know, and, you know, if you desire and your ways please the Lord, you know, then he might, you know, just change your story. And you might be desiring for a long time, but keep on desiring. Don't give up on your desire. Don't give up on your dream. Don't give up on the things you believe in God for. No matter how long, you stay right there. Because one day is coming that he'll show up. And when he shows up, will you still be at a point of faith? Will you still be believing? You know, so this is what we are encouraging people today. Thank you so much, Infant, for sharing. Where are you now?
Did you say where am I located?
Yes.
Oh, I live in Miami. Well, actually, my city is called City of Doral, but it's Miami.
Miami, well, praise the Lord. And where is your son?
My son, the lady that has him, she lives in City of Kendall, but she's still Miami.
Okay.
Well, so I can, yeah, go ahead. Sorry. I'm sorry.
Do you have visitation rights?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Okay.
But she just got him recently. My son is 4 years old.
Okay. And he knows you are his mom and all that.
Yes.
Okay.
It does.
That's good.
Thank you.
The reunion is coming. God needs to finish your restoration.
Exactly.
And your restoration is working, you know. And once that's done, we already prayed for you the other day. And this is going to happen. And we are looking forward to that testimony. It's going to be a great day. Praise God. God will change that. That's one more story that he will change. Bring you back and you and your son back together. It'd be amazing. So thank you for sharing your testimonies. God bless you. Sister Veronica, good morning.
Good morning, sir. Good morning, everyone. God bless you all. Are you hearing me?
Yes, we hear you.
I think so. Okay. Thank you, Jesus, for your word that always come out. And thank you for the people that you prepare to hear the word and take your word into our hearts, not just me alone. The word of God is helping me and reminding me of my past. This topic today, it's just me, Pastor was talking about. And our house fellowship yesterday, one of those things that we shared was really myself. I have to remind myself. It's like a reminder to God again. Like what I shared before I had my incident. I will remind God, this is what you have done for me. This is what you are able to do. This is what I have experienced before. You will still do it again. Thank you. So I was just sharing with my brethren not to bring depression to myself or sorrow. Because I've already overcome that. I forgave them long time ago. No, those things. I've forgiven them. Now that the plans of the enemy did not come to pass. And so I will not be dwelling on it. Say, you told me this, you did this one to me, you said this, you said that. But I was just bringing as memory to tell them that this is what God can do. Of a truth, God has already changed my story. God always ready to change my story. It's me to believe. It's me to came to hold on to it. My half testimony, packaged testimony. Testimonies, not one. And I told God, the day God will finish all, without shame, without whatever, I will come to the congregation of the saints and roll. I will roll for Christ. I will be rolling on the floor. So that is my promise. And it's what I have already told the Lord. I will fulfill it. Because it's God give you something and you say, God, if you do this for me, this is what I will do. I have to fulfill my part. So my testimony is on the way. God is cooking it. Some are ready. I've already eaten them. I've started glorify his name. Some are still on the way. Thank you, Pastor, for reminding me of all this. God always show up if you trust in him. God is always there for us. If really we believe, you might believe today, tomorrow, oh, it's not coming. I don't think it's like that. That is why we pray that we will not meet the day of our visitation. Different days God visits his children. God visits his people. It's like a story of a young boy who play keyboard, you know, play very well. The day the pastor invited people from all over. He didn't know that God is preparing him for something good. The people came from the U.S. I remember how he played his keyboard that day. And was asking, Pastor, please, I want that boy to come with me if we want to go to America. This boy was in Africa. This boy already changed his mind that all that he had been doing in the church, no reward, no even, no nothing, no sentence, there's nothing saying about him to encourage him. Nobody even say about it. So people, the young ones will go and beg him, come now, let's go. Say, I'm not going to that church anymore. That was where these people came. God sent them to go and reward him. But he missed that day. Pastor kept calling and calling and calling and calling and praying. Oh, where is this my boy? Where is this my boy? They need him. And the people were pressing. Can he come now? We want to leave. I just want this boy. He didn't come. So one of the boys that walked to this other brother to say, come, don't worry, let's go to church. I refused. That same boy went to church and he was sharing with pastor. The pastor said they are calling him now to come for reward. The boy shut up his phone, wasn't going. To cut the long story short, somebody else that came that day to play, he was picked up and he went with them to wherever they wanted this boy to be. So let us not relent in our well-doing. We'll be doing good to people. We'll be doing different things. And one thing I hate most, when somebody will come say, by the grace of God, it's because of me, Savero is here. It's because of me, Savero got to that point. I hate it. Don't take glory to yourself. Let God take the glory. You are not doing it for me. You are doing it to the Lord. So we should all learn. And if you miss it, if you don't want to continue to help Savero, someone else will come up. That is just the whole thing. So I'm grateful to hear the word of God that is washing us with his the word taking us from glory to glory, from different things from different. It depends on how we take it. Depends on what we hear. Depends on what you hear and take it to yourself. So God bless you or God bless us. My prayer continue that God help me, help us, help you, Pastor, not to miss the day of your visitation. God lay his word in your heart to go and deposit to the heart of people, to elevate them, to make them change whatever situation they are, and you obey the Lord. God will surely meet your needs in Jesus' name, even that of your children, your household, your beautiful wife. God bless you all in Jesus' name. I yield my mind.
Amen. Ooh, thank you, Sister Veronica, for those powerful testimonies and for that prayer, that word of prayer, you know, that you just laid on me. I receive it. You know, a sister told me yesterday, he said, I don't know how you do it. I said, it's your prayers. So, you know, thank you so much. You know, I love the prayers, you know, that people pray and send our way. Thank you for that. And yes, God will finish that story. When that story is finished, we'll be looking for you to come and do that rolling on the ground. As you said, the Lord is faithful. God bless you. Thank you so much for always willing to share and the good work that God is doing in you, bringing you to perfection into his image also, you know, cutting out all those excesses and different things like that. Yeah, that's all part of it. And the Lord is doing it. And he's not finished with any one of us yet. You know, and when the devil comes and say, well, you do this, and you can also tell the devil, but look at me, I'm not where I used to be. That's right. I may not be exactly where I should be yet, but I'm not the way I used to be. The Lord is still working on me, and I'm cleaning up some things. God's helped me to clean up some things. It's changing my story, both physically and spiritually, and it's all coming out good. Hallelujah. My wife is back on the prayer line. I'm going to ask her to go because she needs to drop in a bit and go to another line. So why don't you go first and then I'll come back to the others.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for this word. You know, the stories, you know, that's always, you know, sometimes I say, okay, I've had the stories before. Then you change. I mean, you use it to bring out the point. So I thank God for this Bible stories that God has appointed to be there for our examples, to see how God can change you. And one thing that touched my heart, you know, in all of the stories, you know, just like you said, engaged when you are listening in these rooms, engage the Lord in the spirit. And the Lord began to reveal even other things that were not said to me. And that's the fact that God sees the heart of man, even when we are seeking help from him. He sees our heart. It's, you know, well, he saw the heart of Mary when he chose her to be the one, the vehicle that in which he's going to come in. This woman, you know, God saw that her life was clean. You know, God saw that all the things that she does. There was nothing hidden from God. So God sees our life. He sees what we are doing in that secret place. You know, and God sees even the man that was, lame man that was healed, the leprosy man that was healed. God saw him. He know there's something special about him that God saw and that we do not see. You know, there's something always special in the woman that touched the hem of his garment. People around Jesus didn't know that this woman issued the problem that she had. But Jesus knew that somebody touched me. And he knew who that person was. And so God knows you in your very nakedness, in what you are needing, what you need of. He knows about it. And he will meet you at the point of your needs. And as you cannot pull a wool over him, he knows exactly what you are doing and watch how he's going to help you. So that's what the Holy Spirit, you know, ministered to me as you were speaking, that, you know, how God changes story. And God sees our heart, he sees our faith, he sees whether we believe him or not. So let us, you know, be faithful to the Lord. Let us continue in this word and continue to hear the word of God and apply into our lives. So I thank you again for this room, for this this teaching of today. God bless every one of us as our listeners and also be doers of this word that we have seen. That it will be a blessing unto us whatever we're doing, wherever we go. That the Lord will bless us. Say thank you again, and I will stop here and mute my mic. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Ani, for that. And thank you for sharing. Thank you for always being here as well. I know you playing triple duty in the mornings here, the declaration room, and then your another prayer watch room and all that. So I appreciate you being here. Maria, your hand is raised, and I am trying to get you to the stage. So come on over. Well, okay, good. There you are. I will get to you in a bit. Let me add something else to that story of the man with 38 years of infirmity. I wanted to rush through those stories quickly, but I want to point this one out too. There's another element that he said, the man said, you know, that I want to call out today. And some of us, you know, resemble those remarks, you know, where especially, you know, people from, you know, developing or third world countries, you know, we're always saying there's nobody to help me. You know, vain is the help of man, you know, and there's a lot, I know a lot of people always saying, well, you know, nobody to help me, nobody to help me, nobody to help me. This is the same thing the man was saying. Nobody to help me, to put me in the water, you know, and while I'm trying to get there, somebody else steps in ahead of me. Well, the Lord is your help. You know, let's quit looking to other people for help. And you know, the another dimension I want to bring out of that story is, look, people are always thinking in their mind sometimes of how God's going to do whatever it is that he's going to do. And this man was, you know, laser focused on the pool, the steering of the pool, and to get in that pool. But Jesus said, look, today it's not about the pool. It's not about the water. It's not about whether somebody can help you or not help you. I'm right here. So sometimes, you know, let's, you know, don't be too focused on trying to put God in a box of how he's going to do it. Well, this is the way God has always done it. He's always sent an angel and he always stirred the water. And so, you know, that, you know, we're just looking to that. You know, that's how we expect it to happen. And well, I don't have anybody that will help me. People say that all the time. I don't have any help. You know, they can't help me. I can't do this, you know, and so on and so forth. You know, I remember even many years ago when I was in Nigeria as a young man, and I used to encourage people to get out of that habit of saying, you know, when I was trying to get my family to the United States, you know, I was talking to some people and, you know, some people were saying, well, I don't have anybody to help me to get a passport. I'm like, what do you need any help for? I mean, people would just not get up and do things for themselves and saying, well, I don't have any help. I don't, you know, nobody to help me get this, nobody to help me get that. Well, get up and do something for yourself. The Lord is your help. Let's not always be focused on, you know, nobody to help me. But God is there to help you, you know, and you can get up and do things for yourself too. And God will help you. Shake up yourself from the dust. Loose yourself from the bands around your neck. Don't let anything hold you back, you know, while you're thinking, oh, well, I can't, you know, nobody to help me. Jesus proved that point right here. Now, even when there is nobody to help you, even when, you know, you're still waiting for the water and the pool, you know, we don't know if that angel, when he came after that event, but that man went on. He didn't have to come back there. You know, his story was already changed and he no longer needed the steering of that particular pool. You know, so let's keep our eyes on the Lord. There's nothing that he cannot do and he doesn't need any man's help. You know, and we ourselves should focus on God's help rather than the help of man. Help of man may be there. I mean, sometimes God does use people. But there are times when, look, if you say, oh, there's no help, there's no, we've heard stories of how God has raised up people to help us. You know, in fact, you know, Sister Anfon just gave a testimony about that. And God raised up this woman to help in the case of her son. But I don't want us to be all the time saying, well, there's nobody to help me. There's nobody to help me. God will help you. And when it is time, you know, that's why we call him Yahweh. He's the God of our help. You know, there is a time when he will come to you. Just don't miss the day of your visitation. As long as you keep on trusting in him, he's coming. And he will change your story. Thank you so much for being here and listening. Sister Pearl, I'll go to you, then Alexis, then I'll go to Maria.
Good morning, Pastor. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. I just thank God for the word this morning because Mommy Vero was saying, Veronica, she was saying, you know, she was looking back on her life and how God changed her story. And to be honest, just listening to her, I was looking back on my life and from, you know, while I was in the womb, and this story was not good. I was just trying to fight back tears. God is, when I look at my life, sometimes I'm just like, God, how did you manage to make my life good despite everything I went through? Even to the point of when I look back, I'm like, well, how was I normal? How was I happy? He just kept me, gave me a sunny disposition despite everything that I was going through. And, you know, now as an adult, I look back and I cry over the things that happened in my childhood. I don't do it very often, you know, I don't get depressed, but I just thank God for how he kept me and changed my story. And even now in my adulthood, and you know, just going through a very difficult situation and just seeing how God just kept me. I went through, my life was turned upside down. I never lacked financially. He sent helpers to help me. My needs were always met. Even when I became bitter and angry and had this hatred inside of me, he changed my story. I would beg him, I can't even control myself. Please just change my heart. I can't control this hatred and anger I felt. And he changed my story miraculously. I know it was a miracle because the way I was feeling was awful, even to the point of one time my father telling me, you're not like this, you're a happy person. And I just couldn't see my way out. And I had to beg God and plead with him through prayer and fasting. And he changed my story, he softened my heart again. And just is changing everything. And I'm going through a transition right now. And I know that my story is about to change in a big way. And I just give glory to God. And I'm so grateful just for everything, even with my children. So, so grateful. Sorry, I'm so emotional, but I'm grateful to God. God bless everyone. Oh, also, I'm just, you know, what Mommy Evo said about, and Mommy Veronica, about just being obedient so we don't miss our time of visitation. You know, I'm just praying to God to give me the strength to remain obedient and continue to do the right things so that I don't miss my reward at my time of visitation. In Jesus' name, I will not miss it. Thank you so much for the word today. God bless everyone.
Amen. And you will not miss that day of visitation. He's got you. He's got you. It's a little here, a little there, a little line upon line, line upon line. He's changing your heart, you know, and he's changing your story, you know, and, you know, things are working out. And yes, you know, you will sing that song. What we waited for has come to pass. See what the Lord has done. That will be your story, Pearl. You know, and I'll be there when you're singing that song. We'll sing it together. Glory to God. You know, and, you know, I know all of the things that you are believing and trusting God for. Yeah. He will do it and then some. Because remember, he's able to do exceedingly, you know, above you know, all that we ask or think. If you can think it, if you can imagine it, if you can desire it, he can do it and even more. And so God will do it. Hallelujah. How's Stephen doing? Which is,
praise God. Stephen's tooth looks really good. His swelling is gone. It doesn't even look like trauma happened other than the temporary braces they put on him. His teeth look good. I just thank God for all the prayers and I just give glory to God. I'm so grateful. The tooth isn't even turning gray or anything. It's still the normal color. So thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Now that was really something, you know, I was telling my wife the other day because she missed that testimony when you were there because she had dropped to the other line, you know, and we were just trusting God, you know, for Stephen. And I'm glad to hear that it's all coming together. You know, the Lord cares for us and he looks out for us no matter what it is. You know, even when, you know, Pearl said, she said something unadvisedly with her mouth, you know, and she should not have said it. And it, you know, it happened, you know, like her worst fear that the boy was going to be injured because he wasn't wearing his mouth guard and everything. And then she later learned that don't say those kind of things, you know, but, you know, even despite that all. Despite all of that, God did still bring his grace and his mercy. And, you know, isn't that wonderful about the Lord? I mean, we call him the God of second chances. You know, sometimes some of us, we are stubborn-headed like that. Me in particular also. You give us multiple opportunities. But his mercy and grace is so wonderful. You know, but we got to grow up. You know, we got to grow out of some of these things. You know, we need to grow up. You know, yeah, God's been merciful. God's been good and so forth. But let's grow up. You know, when we were a child, we did childish things. You know, look, the things that a child does, that may not be sinful. That's just your child. But he was a child, so he's doing it. You know, so it's not necessarily that this child wanted to be sinful, but they were just a child. But when they grew up, we expected to know better, you know. So now that we are growing up, let's put away childish things. Some of those childish things are what we are dealing with in this room. You know, let's grow into the image and character of the Christ and put away those childish things and let's enjoy even more of God. Glory to God. Thank you, Pearl, for sharing. We love you. All right, Alexis, let me go to you now. And I'm coming to you, Maria. Stay right there. Alexis, you there?
Hi, good morning, everyone. I just want to say thank you for this word. I just want to give a quick testimony and just really, share my story. I always talk a lot about my health, how I was diagnosed with lupus about 10 years ago. And I recently just came off my last medication. And one of the things I am learning, as I continue to, seek the Father and just continually, indulge myself in the Word, is that, God's Word is so true. He is so gracious and He has given me so much favor. He has brought me out of so many different things that I never thought I would come out of. And, it is so important for us to just trust Him and just be obedient. Extreme obedience is what I'm learning. And when you are obedient, yes, He does reward His children. And I am so grateful. I'm so grateful. But I just came off my last medication and I had some labs done. And my lab work looks phenomenal. I feel great. So His word is true. God has, given us authority and dominion over these promises. And a lot of times I look back and I'm like, the things I know now, I wish I knew back then, but I know everything is done in His timing. And God knew that this was coming. God knew that I would turn back to Him and that, these things would come to pass. And when you talk about how God is going to change your situation, like, he has been changing everything in my life. He has been restoring. And I truly believe with all of my heart that he is a restorer. And he is going to restore everything in my life if I just continue to trust him and be obedient. So I'm happy. I'm grateful. I'm so grateful. And I'm excited. I'm excited about what's to come. Because everything he said is going to come to pass. And I'm just grateful for it. And I'm grateful for this room. And I'm grateful for the daily word that you give. It's really filling me up. It's filling my cup over and over and over again. And it's just, I just can't get enough. So I thank you, Pastor Yato, Lady Ebon, and everybody in the room. Just have a blessed day. I yield my mic.
Amen. Thank you so much. Good to have you here always, you know. And yes, Isaiah 1:19. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. I wonder why God always talks about obedient. I mean, it was always the thing. You know, he said to the children of Israel, if you will indeed obey my voice, then you will be a chosen people, a generation of priesthood to me and all of that. Obey my voice was always one thing that he said. You know, and do according to his word. And his voice is very important. The voice of the Lord carries his very essence and what he tells us. And some of that voice has been converted into the written word. You know, though, you know, we're told that the scripture was given by inspiration. Holy men of God, you know, as they were moved of the Spirit, wrote the word of God, you know, for us. And today we have the written word. We also have the word of God that will come to us. But I tell you what. You know, the written word that you have, you got to obey that written word also first before you'll be looking for some spoken word. You got the written word. It's all there. And then if you obey that, then the Lord will also come to you in the voice, come to you in the, you know, audible voice, you know, sometimes, or the still small voice, you know, because you are obeying his word. But we must obey the word. You know, thank you for bringing that out, Alexis. You know, obedient. You know, extreme, I don't know if you said extreme obedience or however you said it. You know, that's actually perfect faith. You know, when for our faith to be fully perfected, we gotta be fully obedient. That's perfect faith. You know, because, you know, by faith, we just believe the word of God and do the things that he's telling us. You read all those stories in, Hebrews chapter 11, many of them was by faith. They did what God asked them to do. You know, we're told later it's by faith, but it was mostly obedience. You know, by faith, Abraham obeyed God, you know, when he was told to go and, you know, sacrifice his son and all that. By faith, Noah obeyed God when he was told to do this and that. By faith, this person did this and this person did that. You know, he was... That's one of the attributes of faith in our lives, is to lead us into obedience. You know, actually the Bible calls about the obedience of the faith. You know, so by obedience, our obedience is so key. And if, as a matter of fact, when the scripture was talking about, you know, our weapons not being carnal, but, you know, mighty through God, the pulling out of strongholds and casting down imaginations and so forth, and having a readiness to avenge all disobedience when our own, you know, obedience is fulfilled. You know, that is so key. Our own obedience must also be fulfilled. 2 Corinthians 10 verses 4-6. You know, in order for us to revenge all that disobedience, our own obedience must be fulfilled. Obedience is so key. And the ultimate faith comes from, you know, absolute obedience. You just do. He says, and you do, you know. And, it translates, you know, they walk together hand in hand, the faith and obedience, you know. And read again some of those stories in Hebrews 11. And see all the things that, you know, said by faith, this person did that. By faith, this person did that. By faith, this person did something else. Most of the time, they were just responding to something that God told them to do. But yet, it's reported as faith. But it was really obedience, you know. So, that really works hand in hand. And thank you for sharing that, Sister Alexis. God bless you. Maria, well, good to have you here. I don't know if you are new to this room. I'm not sure if you've joined the room or even following. I don't know if I've seen you before, but welcome. You know, we're glad to have you. What's your story that God is changing?
Thank you. I'm glad to be here, and I'm sorry I was I found the room kind of late, but my story is just that, you know, I've learned that, you know, once you decree a thing, it is established, and once we deny our flesh, you know, it brings us closer and closer to God. And I heard you say that, you know, I heard you say that we have to depend on Him in everything and not really depend on other people. And that's kind of been my story, because I'm a single mom, and I have a little testimony. Like, the other day, my son, his car broke down. His tire blew out, and so he called me, you know, afraid. He's 20 and first-time driver, and he was like, Mom, I don't know what to do. And I was in the grocery store like 10 minutes away, and I said, just stay right there. I'm on my way. So when I started driving, and I also told him to pray, and then I started driving, and then I just started to speak and talk to God, and asking Him to help me and to send the angels, and you know, that I was really trusting in Him. And when I got there was somebody helping him. It was a lady, actually. She was helping him change out his tire. And, you know, here in the States, like, it's not easy for somebody to just stop and help anybody. Like, people normally have to call for, like, roadside assistance and things like that. So I just really knew that was God. And, you know, I just really believe in just drawing closer to Him each day, and just really staying in the Word, and just denying ourselves from the things that we want, and just letting it be His will that be done and not ours, and just really embracing His purpose in our lives. So that's pretty much my story. It's just been a period of waiting and trusting and believing and declaring the things that I want to see you know, be done, which is His will at the end of the day. So I thank you for allowing me to speak.
Well, absolutely. You are very welcome. And where are you? Where are you located? What part of the United States are you?
I'm in Georgia.
Georgia. That's nice. Is it raining a lot there?
Yes, it's been raining here and there.
I hear it rains a lot there. All the time, yeah. So, but yeah, welcome to the room. Listen,
thank you. We
are here every day. You know, you can join the club, the House of Faith, but sometimes we actually host it under Walking with God. So, we've got a couple of clubs there. Check my profile, you'll see them. And we will be here by the grace of God every morning, Atlanta time. What time is that? Are you on the East Coast time?
Yes.
Georgia? Okay, so for you, it'll be 6:15 a.m. is where we are here every day. For us here in Arizona, it's 4:15. I get up early to come to this room. But, you know, we're starting the day out with the Lord. And it's actually working out well for me, you know. I know I joined Clubhouse 2 years ago, and I've always been wanting to give to the, you know, give to the body of Christ, but I just couldn't do it only during the, I would try to do it in the evening. I would try to do it only on Saturdays sometimes and all of that. And it was hard because, you know, so many other events happen and things like that. But ever since we had this room or started this room, which is a little over 2 months now, you know, yes, it was hard on the flesh, but it's easier to be more consistent at this time, because we can just get it out of the way before we get on with the rest of the day. Just get it out of the way, you know, and give Him our first fruits and then other things will follow. And so I am thankful to God for being able to do this room. And I want to thank everybody that's been joining this room and coming in here, and my helpers who post the scriptures. Sister Grace was on duty today for that, posting so many scriptures. And I got to slow down with those scriptures. But I don't know how you guys catch up, you know, with me on that. But, you know, I just thank you for being here, everyone. And it's been a, you know, a good run for us. We started this room October 1st. I invite you, if you are not yet following, or joining or not a member of House of Faith, click the little green house button at the top and join, and you'll get notification when we start the room. We may start the room under other clubs as well, so you'll have to join each one of those clubs. Or if you are following me or my wife, Ebon, individually, you will also get notifications when we host any room, no matter which room we host it under. So, you know, we'll be back tomorrow by the grace of God in this room at the same time. Those of you that are in Nigeria, Elisha, I see you. Welcome. Thank you for being here. It's mid-afternoon for you there, and you are yet able to join us. Several people here in the U.S., Colapo and Grace, thank you. Sister Mary, I know you are in the U.K. You know, thank you for, you know, for joining consistently. I'm still waiting for you to come up to the stage and share with us on someday, you know, when you can, when you're not at work. I know you are at work right now. Maybe some weekend you might do that. I thank everybody, and we will be here every day by the grace of God as long as it is called today and as long as the Lord gives us the grace. And we'll be sharing. And listen, like I said, I'm going more into the I'll be going back into the transformation series, because we got to get back to the place where we are not turning on and off the light. You know, so I want to go more into that. I may start that tomorrow, but you know, God doesn't want us to turn the light on and off. You know, got to keep the light on all the whole time, you know, because God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So we don't need, you know, one day we turn it on, the other day we turn it off. No, let it be on all the time, always on. And how do we get there? You know, because, you know, that's a strange concept to believers today. We're always dealing with the issues of the flesh. We can't seem to get past these things. You know, I'm going to be teaching on how to get past some of these things. You know, and, you know, so you wouldn't want to miss that, because, I mean, life is not just about, Father, give me this, Father, give me that, Father, give me this. You know, that's all good, but the Father wants us to come into his image and his likeness and to be like him. And then you can do these things for yourself. Praise God. That's why he said, look. And, you know, said, you know, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And right after that, in verse 7 of Philippians 4, he says, and the peace of God will keep you. I didn't say, and God will do all those things. He will do those things too, but still, you know, you have such a peace. And we talked about that when we talked about Answer of Peace a few days ago. You know, God will give you, God will put you in such a place. There's some things that God doesn't need to do for us. We can do it for ourselves. You know, because we are in him and he's in us, and we are carrying the glory and the light. You know, and when he's there, he expects us to take care of some things. And like he expected the disciples to take care of, you know, not be bothered by the tempest that was in the boat. I mean, coming against the boat. The tempest is outside. You are in the boat. What are you worried about? You know, the water didn't even come inside the boat. You know, as long as, you know, the thing is just outside, you know, on the inside, you have such peace. You know, my peace I give to you. We cover that. I invite everybody to listen to that subject of the answer of peace when we did it a few days ago. You'll find the replays. You know, that's the place that God wants us to be. You know, be at peace. And by all means, he will give you that peace. And we're coming into the place where Jesus said, he that overcometh. You got to overcome all these things. But I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. It shall go no more out. It's no longer up and down, you know, one day on, one day off. No, It's he just says, look, the crime is coming. He's going to fix it. You know, I'm doing a little advertising now for some of the rooms that we'll be doing. You know, so the time is coming when you say, look, let him that is holy be holy still. Let him that is righteous be righteous still. Let him that is unholy be unholy. You can't, there's no oscillating back and forth. We've been doing that all our lives. We're oscillating. We go on, we go up, we come down. We go up, we come down. Which is why he said, look, come back every morning and put some more wood on the fire. Keep it burning. But look, the ideal thing that God's wanting for us is not this, you know, yo-yo type of thing. You know, God is not a yo-yo. You know, up one day, down the next day, this way and sideways and so on. You know, we're still, you know, we're still living in the soulish realm when that is happening. We got to cross over into the spirit realm. You know, once we cross over into the spirit realm, you know, God is, you know, do you know why people sometimes feel one day they're righteous and the other day they don't feel so righteous? Why? The righteousness of Christ is constant. It doesn't go up and down. You know, Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that we have been made the righteousness of God in him. So the one day when you don't feel so righteous is because you are still in the soulish realm. And maybe we're letting the carnal mind, you know, dictate our path. But we need to get back into that spirit realm, you know, where the Bible says with God, there is no variableness or shadow of turning. God doesn't have any mood swings. It's not a yo-yo. One day it's like this, the next day it's like that. That's all with us. And we God needs to cure that. And then we can be a full expression of the Father. This is the beautiful thing here. This is what we're supposed to do. Agents of change. We got to bring that change. Bring in everlasting righteousness and bring the elements of God's kingdom. And we got to bring it. And it starts one person at a time. It's got to start with me. It's got to start with you. And so we're going to be getting more into that in these rooms. And I believe we've covered a lot to help us in our natural realm. Now we're ready to take a leap of faith. Maybe a quantum leap sometimes, but nonetheless, he will help us. You know, so we cannot be babies all the time. You know, Hebrews chapter 5 talks about that. For when you ought to be teachers, you have need that someone to teach you again what be the principles of the, you know, the elementary things. He said, grow up already. He said, look, you know, meat is for people, you know, who are grown. You know, milk, yeah, that's okay. You can drink milk, but you can't drink milk all the time. You know, so if you drink milk all the time, you will have stunted growth, you know. You know, you can read that in Hebrews 5 and 12. You know, so we cannot drink milk all the time. You know, and say, look, we need to get into strong meat. Strong meat are for those who are, you know, grown. I mean, can you imagine a parent? I mean, many of us who are here, your parents, can you imagine if your child does not develop year after year, year after year, they just babies and all they drink is milk? You're going to be seriously worried. You know, you're going to be running up and down looking for some serious help, because that's not normal. You know, a child must develop. Even so, we must develop. We can't be in the same childish thing forever. We got to grow out of it. You know, not go out. It's a difference between going out of something. If you go out of something, you can come back into it. And this is our problem. We go out of it, we come back into it. No, but we got to grow out of it. There are some things that children grow out of. They just grow out of it. And so we got to grow out of it. You know, when they are toddlers and they have to wear the trainer pants and the, you know, pull up pants and wet their bed and all of that. At some point, they just grow out of it. You don't even think about that anymore. They just grown out of it. They can't come back to that. You know, it's done. It's just grown out of it. You know, that's the same thing. There's certain elements of this flesh and the soul that we need to grow out of. Not just go out, but grow out of it and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and come into sonship. You know, we got to grow out of it. That's a process. I've been talking about this process for a long time, but I'll keep talking about it. the process from getting from the child to the son. It's a process, but we will get there by the grace of God, you know. And so we're going to get back more into those series, and you don't want to miss it. We'll be teaching about that, and I think it's going to be amazing. We need to encourage ourselves in those things because we see the day approaching. The Bible says, as you see the day approaching, encourage yourself in these things. Praise the Lord. You know, so look for that. We're going to be doing that, and we'll be back here by the grace of God tomorrow morning, same time. And I've announced the time for those of you who are elsewhere. So join us at the appropriate time for your time zone, whatever that may be. And thank you again, Brother Kolapo, Elisha, Michelle, Praise, Mary, and Sam, and Sister Elaine, Alexis, Pearl, and everybody else who I joined before. Thank you for being here. We honor and appreciate every one of you. And you all have a great day. And remember, God is changing your story. You may have testimonies of storylines in your life that he has already changed, but he's still changing your story. There's more to be changed. There's more glory to be revealed in your life. And so keep on believing. He's still working on you. He's not done yet. You know, and you're going to come back. We want you to come. Every time you have a testimony, though, of this changing story, come back and tell us and, you know, encourage the rest of us who are still believing God. So every one of us is believing for some change, you know, hallelujah. So, you know, let's keep on believing. And, as you go through this day, you know, let's keep on believing God in everything that we do, wherever we go. Let's keep on believing God. There is a change, you know, that is coming for us. Even in the thing that we are, all believers are looking forward to, you know, the coming of the Lord, or should be looking forward to, you know, and in the, there's going to be a change for our body. You know, there's always a change that is coming. It's a situation where we're constantly evolving, you know, we're constantly evolving. So, let's keep on believing God and keep on evolving closer to that light. That's what we got to do. You know, so God bless every one of you. God bless you, and you have a wonderful day. Remember, let's keep the fire burning, and let's come back and put more wood upon it every morning and keep that fire burning. And as you go through the day, the Lord be with you. The Lord give you an answer of peace concerning all the things that you are believing God for. Until your change come, keep believing. You know, I love that verse in Job chapter 14, verse 14. He said, you know, I'm going to wait till my appointed time. Will I wait? And then my change will come. I'm going to wrap it up with that. If a man die, shall he live again? Yes. You know, we know the Lord's coming to raise us up. And all the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. So that's the caption and the, well, punchline for our line, our room this morning. Wait for your change. It's coming. Job chapter 14 and verse 14. Your change is coming. God bless you all, and the Lord make his face to shine upon you. We'll see you again tomorrow by the grace of God. This room will now closing in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Wait for your appointed time. Your change is coming. God bless you all.